Good morning, Inspire Church. Good to be together this morning. Thank you for coming today. It is crazy outside, but we're glad that you made it in here so it's nice and dry. Welcome those who are joining us online. And I know that March Madness has brought some of us disappointments from yesterday. All the Kansas teams are out, and so we don't get to worry about that anymore. But I want to let you know we still have something to celebrate. I got to see a great championship game in Hayes, Kansas yesterday. Our own Luke Starkey at our basketball team of our Special Olympics. Luke's there in the middle. They won this Kansas State Championship yesterday. So not all is lost. And so we had just a great thing. We love to celebrate good things that happen around here. And Luke, and just a fun to watch a group of kids that just know how to love and know how to teach us how to love others. So it was a great day yesterday. And so I know that as we think about March Madness, a little over 2,000 years ago, that's when March Madness really started. That's when it really began. On this Sunday, 2,000 years ago, we celebrate as Christians Palm Sunday, when Jesus walked into Jerusalem riding in victory, only to have the week and to find himself on the cross on Friday. It was a week of March Madness, but we're going to come back next Sunday, right? And we're going to celebrate the resurrection. We're going to celebrate when the madness ended, because Christ came to bring us salvation and peace and hope. And so we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. You can clap for that. Absolutely. We're going to celebrate that next week. Can't wait to be a part of that. But we are today are in our last message of our series called Move. And you may be here. This may be your first time. Don't feel like you've missed anything. Let me just share the most important thing you need to know. I believe, we believe that God is moving. We believe that God is moving whether you know it or not, whether you perceive it or not, whether you respond or not. We've been saying that almost each and every week. And I want to make it really personal. I believe that God is moving in your life. He's moving in my life. He's moving whether we know it, whether we see it, whether we perceive it, and whether we respond to it or not, because we have a move to make too. And today we're all going to be given an opportunity, not crazy or weird, but we're all going to be having an opportunity to move, because this series is about moving and the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And there's a response that we have the opportunity to move as well. And so I believe this, as we're in this series, as we look towards our future, I'm an optimistic person. That's just kind of how God's made me. I look more forward to the future than I dwell on the past. I just believe that God wants to do more. I believe that God wants to, I pray, I want God to do more in my life. Don't we want to do God to do more in our lives than what he's doing? We want to see God do great things. We want to see God do amazing things. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to see God do amazingly good things. You can be an atheist this morning and you're not going to object if there is a God, that he would do an amazing thing, that he would do some good things. And so we are believing that. And so even as we kind of head into this series and we're praying for God to move, I just want you to know your pastor's heart is, I've been praying for God to move. I've been praying for him to move in my life. I've been praying for him to move in my marriage and to move into my family, to move in our church. I've been praying that he would move in your life. And I'm praying along with you that he would move in people's lives that aren't even here yet. That he would move in lives that don't even know that we're here, that don't know that what we're about. I'm praying and believing that God wants to do more. And I believe that we see the movement of God in different pockets and different places. I believe that we see God moving. Last year when they did the filming of the Jesus Revolution, remember that movie last year? When they were filming that, not many people know this, 4,000 extras were baptized on the set because of that movie. 4,000 that came just, they wanted to be in a movie, they were extras. 4,000 were baptized. Last year at the University of Auburn, a secular university, a couple thousand young people got baptized, and it created kind of a controversy and a stir. No controversy for us. We celebrate that. We're thankful for it. I have pastor friends of mine in Florida and Indiana and others that they this last year, God has moved in their church, and they've seen 400 and 500 baptized Christ in just this last year, come into faith. And I began to ask the question. I praise the Lord for that because we're all on the same team. So when there's something good, just like we celebrate, you know, when something happens great in Luke Starkey's life and when something happens, we celebrate the good things in each other's lives. We celebrate when God's people are experiencing victory, whether it's here or whether it's elsewhere. But it also makes me ask the question, why not us? God, I believe that you want to do more. I believe there's more that God wants to do. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? Or are we just kind of get used to it? The Apostle Paul said these words. He said, to the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Do we really believe that? I'm honest with you this morning. Sometimes I struggle with that because we face the same things in life and the difficulties and the things that we're facing each and every day in our community, in our families, in our lives. But I believe that, as we sang this morning, that we were made for more, that God wants to do more, that God wants us to make a move. I believe God's moving. We sang a song about whether we see him moving, whether we feel like he's moving, whether we know it or not, God is moving. And we just need to rest in the confidence that even when we can't see it, even when it looks like God is not working, God is at work and he is moving, and he also invites us to move. This series is about us making a move too. So are you ready, mate? Are you ready to make a move? God invites us to make a move. And so today we're going to look at a few of those moves because the last several weeks, just a quick recap, there's four moves God makes in everyone's lives to draw them to him, to draw them into relationship. And we've been talking about that. Four moves that God uses to activate our faith. So we talked about the first week how God uses community. God made people. He made us for one another. He made us to live in community. He speaks through community. He speaks through people. God so many times has spoken to me through his people. And honestly, God has spoken to me by people that are not his people yet. God has a way of moving and working in people's lives, but he uses community. At the very beginning, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. At the very beginning, he established a family, the Hebrews and Israel. He established a family to display his glory and to display who he is. So he invites us to community, and Jesus established the church to help display his glory and invite us into a relationship with him. So the first thing we want to invite people to experience community. And then we talked about so they can engage with God, so we can engage with God, so we can have an encounter with God. I don't make any apologies for this. We're not trying to hide anything. We're not trying to pull one over your eyes. We want you and me, we want every person that comes through these doors or watches online, we want them to have an encounter with God. That's our goal. We don't hide from that. There's no secret agenda. It's a public agenda. We want people to encounter God. We want to encounter God so then we can claim our identity. And Pastor Brandon, Pastor Nate, and myself spoke the last 3 weeks about how God wants us to claim our purpose, to claim our identity, to claim our mission, to claim our gifting, because God made us for more. Now, these first three things that we've talked about, they're all awesome things. But I also would point out that they're all about kind of receiving or getting. Receiving community, receiving Christ, receiving and claiming our identity. It's all kind of about getting and receiving. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's more than just getting and receiving. In fact, if we just stay here and we don't go where we're talking about today, we're going to get stuck. And honestly, this is where I think a lot of Christians get stuck, where a lot of churches get stuck. Why do Christians get stuck? Why do churches get stuck? Why do churches decline? And why do churches die? I believe this is a big portion, a big piece of today, because the early church was not just about receiving, was not just about getting, but they were about sharing and doing something. Dr. Brian Thomas, he's a friend of mine, the pastor in Idaho, Nampa, First Church of the Nazarene. I love something he said recently. He said, "We are a people drowning in information, but starving for purpose." We are in the information age. We can get everything at our fingertips. There's nothing that we cannot know. And in the last 3 weeks, honestly, we can learn a lot of things. We can even experience and we can engage. But if we don't understand our identity and we get stuck there, we're just a people drowning in information, but starving for purpose. And we were made for more. Anybody been here? It's the Dead Sea. Anybody been to the Dead Sea? There's been a few of us over there, a few of us over there. Anybody over here been to the Dead Sea? I want to go to Israel one day when it's a little bit calmer, maybe not right now. But oh my goodness, how beautiful is that? I'm sure that if you went there, you floated. You know, you went out there and floated in the salt water. You didn't have to do anything. You're nodding your, yep, you just floated out there. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. But it's stuck. And it lacks life. And nothing can live in it. Because there is a river flowing into it and there's water flowing into it, but there's nothing that allows it to flow out. There's nothing that allows it to give back. And when we only receive and when we only get and we don't give back, we become like the Dead Sea. We become stuck. And churches become stuck when we don't make that move because God made us for more. And so the early church, they realized that, yes, they wanted to receive community. They wanted to receive Christ. They knew their identity, but it didn't stop there. They were made for an impact. They weren't meant just to receive the gospel. They knew that they were meant to share the gospel. They knew that they weren't meant just to receive Christ. They were meant to share Christ. They were not meant to just to receive, but they knew that they were incredibly, the early churches who taught us what generosity is, they were incredibly generous. And they gave beyond their means sometimes for the sake of the mission. They unleashed compassion. I'm excited in a few weeks, the 21st of April is about unleashing compassion. But the early church knew this. They made an impact. And you, my friend, you and I, you were made to make an impact. And the songs we sang today were on purpose. In fact, I asked Dustin for one of them. I said, "Would you do Waymaker before I get up and preach? Because and would you do that song we've been doing for a few weeks? Because I want us to think about God made us for more. And even when we don't see that he's working, we don't feel that he's working, God is at work. Whether we know it or not, perceive it or not, God is at work and he made you and me for impact. There's one verse. This is a powerful verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and then 8 and 10. There's a lot packed into this small verse. And we're going to unpack this today because this is so rich. It's so impactful. It's so good. And I can't wait to share it with you today. But let me just start off. But let's just read this together. Verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." As we head into Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday next week, I want to remind us, we aren't good people that need to get better. This isn't a self-help message. We don't preach a self-help gospel that we just want to get a little bit better. We just want to get, of course we want to get better, but that's not what we are. The plain truth of it is, and this is not like the world doesn't like this, but we're dead. We're dead in our transgressions. We're dead in our sin. Why else do we need a Savior if we're not at the end and we're completely and utterly hopeless? Because we're dead in our sins. We're dead in our transgressions. We need a Savior. And so verse 8 reminds us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." It is the gift of God. This is the tenet of our faith, that we're saved by grace through faith, that we're not saved by the good deeds, and we're not saved because, or we cannot be saved because of how bad our deeds are. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then this is where we're going to land today on the last part, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I have a pastor friend and a mentor of mine in Sacramento of a large church, Ray Johnston, and he shared this with his church in the past, and I've remembered, I've been saving it, and I just feel like it's one of those things that it would be wrong for me to keep it to myself and not share with you. It would be wrong for me to try to maybe even reinvent the wheel and do something different. Sometimes you just take something and go, thank you, God, and then you pass it on. As Paul said, what I've received, I pass on to you. This is something I've received, and I'm grateful for it, and I want to pass it on to you today. I'm so excited about this. There's three words that we're going to focus on today that are so impactful. For we are God's. That's the first. We're God's. We're God's. And I want to focus on three words today, and we're going to unpack this. It's a big deal, and I can't probably explain it well enough to say this is impactful just of itself. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've received him as your Savior and Lord, we're his. We're his children. We're a child of God. We're loved. We're known. We're connected. We're valued. For we are God's workmanship. Your translation may say masterpiece, but I like this idea of workmanship. That's what we're going to use today. Created to do good works. We're God's workmanship, created to do good works. For those of you following along in your notes, this is where we have some notes for us today. We're God's workmanship, created to do good works. We're God's, we're his workmanship, good works. Let's unpack that, what that means. To be God's is to let God love me. Some of us, maybe watching online, maybe some of us in this room, you're not letting God love you. You're beating yourself up. You're condemning yourself. You're living in that shame that we sang about today, that Christ came to set you free of. And when we're God's, that's saying, I'm going to let God love me. And sometimes that can be hard. Sometimes we're hard on ourselves, and we got this battle going on between these two ears and in our mind that tells us a different story. And the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he breathes these lines into us that are different than that. But to be God's is to let God love me. To be his workmanship is to let God change me. So we let God love me. But he loves us just the way that we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. So we let God change me, and then we let God use me. What I'm describing today and what Pastor Ray was describing to his church, the best way I can say this is I'm going to paint a picture through my brother's help of what it is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. If you're wanting to know today, what is it to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? What is it to be all in? This describes the Christian life. To let God love me, that we're his. That to let God change me, to let God use me. If you want to use more technical words and words sometimes you'll come across in the pages of your Bible and you'll see, hey, what does that really mean? There's a little more technical word for this. God, to let God love me is to let him save me. To receive his free gift of salvation that we celebrate this next Sunday, that he died on a cross, he paid the penalty for our sin, he rose again so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty, we wouldn't have to pay that debt. He did it for us. It's salvation. Salvation is letting God love me, letting God change me. That is sanctification. That is God setting apart us for his special purpose. That he wants to not just love me, but he doesn't want to leave us where I am and where you are. He wants to change us. And when we let God sanctify us, we're saying, we're your workmanship. God, we're going to let you, we give you permission to change me so you can enter into his service. This is what it is. This is kind of I love this language. To be God's is to let God love me, which is salvation. His workmanship is to let God change me, which is sanctification. And the good works that he created for us to do, God wants to use you for his service. Now, there's words that we like to use around our church that I think blend in with this as well, too. To be God's and to let him love me, to let him save me, is to let God be for me. We have these verses on your way out the doors. They're out there in front of you every Sunday. You probably don't even look at them. You've probably forgotten about them. But when you walk out, would you look at them today? It says that if God is for you, who can be against you? And maybe you need to hear that as you go back to work, or as you go back to school this week, or as you face that difficult situation or that difficult personality. Maybe you need to know this morning, God is for you. God's not against you. God's for you. He wants to help you. God is for you. He wants to allow you to let him love me so he can work in you, so he can change us, that he wants to work for us. He wants to work in us so he can work through us. Does that make sense? Am I the only one that just think, I didn't come up with this so I can say this word. I think that's brilliant. I think this is brilliant. I think every believer should understand this. This is the mark of what it is to be a Christian. This is the mark of what it is to be a follower of Christ. To let God love me. Let God change me. Let God use me. To be saved and sanctified so we can enter into his service. So we can know that God is not only just for me, but he's in me and he wants to work through me. God has more for us. He wants to do more for us than we could possibly know. And the problem is, some Christians, they let God love them, but they don't let him change them. It's like, oh God, I love it that you're for me. I love it that you saved me. And we love a God who's our Savior, and we can accept that and receive that. And we're like, hey, I love you being my Savior. But you know what's a different thing when we make Jesus our Lord? He has more for us. You know how we want more for our children and for our grandkids? How we want more for them? God wants more for us. He's for us, but he doesn't want us to stop there. And some Christians, they let God love them. They know he's for them, but they're like, sorry, God, this is my life. I'm going to live this the way I want to. And if this works for me on Sunday, but honestly, this doesn't work as well for me on Monday. Or this, I like that you're for me, but you know, my kids, they're mine. Or my job or my career, they're mine. I love you, God, and I'm thankful that you saved me. But and when we become Christians, that we just let God love me, but we don't let him change us, we become selfish. We become selfish, if maybe a strong word, narcissistic. We become narcissistic Christians where it's just about us. God, what are you going to give me? And I love the gifts that God gives us. Salvation and family and freedom and joy. But we were made for more. And the other side of the coin is sometimes people let God use them, but they don't let God love them. And they're working really hard. And in some ways, they may be trying to work for God's favor when God wants to give them their favor. They may be working for salvation. They're trying to do good deeds and good works. And they're saying, use me. And the ones that are like, if you can call this a Christian, that say, use me, but, you know, are not receiving the love, they become bitter, angry, resentful, kind of the Martha. You know, Jesus, Martha, Martha. Martha became kind of bitter and resentful and angry because Mary wasn't doing any of the work. She was the one doing the work. Jesus could tell Mary to get busy. But Martha wasn't allowing Jesus to just love her. And so you get discouraged and you get burnt out. But you were made for more. We were made for more. So my question today, this morning, is very simple. Knowing that we're made for more, knowing that God is moving in our lives, whether we know it or not, perceive it or not, or respond or not, will we move? Are you ready to move? The four things to activate our faith is invite into community where we experience God's people. God works through, I don't know why, but God created the church. He didn't have to. But God's a relational God. He didn't want to do this by himself. He could have, but he wants us to be a part of it. And he created us for community, and he invites us to experience community so that we can then engage with God. And it's so much better to engage with God, and we're meant to engage with God together. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. There is no Jesus and me, and that's not the way God made it or designed it. He made us for one another. And can we just be honest? Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. Or is it just me? I'm sorry. Did I speak something out loud that I shouldn't have? I won't point you out, but there's some of you in here that have gotten on my nerves. And probably every one of you said right back at you, Pastor. You do it every Sunday. I mean, there's things that it's sticky, it's messy. We're sinful, we're broken. We say words that we wish we didn't say, and we do things that we wish we didn't do, and we wish we could take some things back. But God created this sticky, messy group of people to figure out how to love God, because the only way that we love an unseen God is how we love one another. Or the Jewish prayer that was prayed twice a day in the morning and the evening. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the same is equal to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The only way that we love God is how we love one another, warts and all. The only way that really we love is how we really love our enemies, the people we don't like and the people don't like us. How we love them and how we engage with God, how we encounter God. And then how we claim our identity, that God, he made us on purpose for a purpose. And he wants you to know that you are his in Christ, that you and I are made for a mission, and that we all have gifts that we've been giving. As Pastor Nate talked about last week, all of us have something that God has given us to contribute. And when we're not contributing, the body of Christ is missing out. It's not as strong as it needs to be, because we were made to make an impact. So I want to share a couple. First of all, let me go back to claim identity. April 7th is our first claim class. We teach it the first three Sundays of every month. First, second, third Sunday of April will only be, the difference is we have April 21st, our serve day, so we won't have service that morning. So April 28th will be our third. But other than something like that, each and every week, the first three Sundays is our claim class. And if you just know that you're made for more and God has more for you, we want everyone to take this class. But I think there's some that right now, you're just like, this is my next step. I need to know that God's made me on purpose for a purpose. I need to know who I am in Christ, the mission he has for me and for us, and the giftings that he's given me. It's a great three-week class. It's taught on the other side of this lobby. It's not taught by pastors. We didn't want it to be pastors teaching this. It's co-laborers in Christ that are teaching this, facilitating this. It's going to be a great thing. You might want to sign up for that. That might be your next step. That might be your move today. Or maybe it's time to make an impact. Maybe you know who you are in Christ. You've received his love. You love coming to church and enjoying the fellowship. But honestly, you're what Pastor Nate called last week, spectators. You're sitting on the sidelines. You're consumers. And it's like, hey, I love what we receive from God and his church, but we were made for more. We were made to be like the early church, not just to receive, but we were meant to share. We were meant to unleash compassion. We were meant to give. We were meant to make an impact. And one of the ways collectively that we're going to make an impact is, you know, various times that we'll do this is April 21st. This is going to be your first Sunday here at church. You're invited to this. You can be a part of this. We're going to go, as Pastor Brandon said, we're going to go be the church, not go to church that day. We're going to come to church that night. We're going to have a praise and worship celebration. But we're going to go out that day, and there's going to be multiple things. Interfaith housing that we did before, we're going back there because they need some more demolition. Some of you guys like to get that, you know, sledgehammer out. You just like to just destroy something in the name of Jesus. I mean, this is your opportunity to tear something down in the name of Jesus and do good work. I mean, so you want to do that. That's a place that you can sign up. Wesley Towers, and Nabil, the director that will be in our second service today, there's a lot of projects that he has for us that we can enhance and make Wesley Tower a better place for our seniors to live. And so there's a lot of projects there that might entice you. There's crisis care kits that we'll be assembling here that go out to the various places places in the world. That's all ages and abilities. So if you're like, I got a 3-year-old, we don't know what that means, bring it that as a family. Same thing for the beautification of Cary Park. That's another, and there's more than this. I'm just naming a few of them, but that's something you can do as a family. You can go out together, and there's going to be other things. And so how you sign up for this, you can express interest, but the best way to sign up is to pull out your phone, look for the Serve app that looks like this, download it on the App Store or in Google Play. You're going to get something like this, and then you're going to type in Inspire Church. Now, there is more Inspire Churches in Hawaii, Texas, North Carolina, Michigan, California, Kansas. That's us. But when you pull up Inspire Church, we're the only ones on this app. So you pull up Inspire Church, and when you do that and you fill out that information, boom, you can pull up all the projects that we're going to do together as a church. Working in our community, loving, letting know our community that we're for them, that God's for them. And so we're going to go out and we're going to go make a difference. That's something collectively. Of course, we're not just supposed to make a difference one day a year together, but you and your work, you're ambassadors for Christ. You at your schools, you're ambassadors for Christ. So we have these opportunities. And so before you today, on your seats, this was the last message of our series, and I just think it's time for us to move. We've been talking about moving, and so I don't think we should sit any longer. And so I'm going to give you an invitation to think about, where is God wanting me to move? Do you recognize that God's working in your life, that He loves you, that He wants to work in you and through you, that He's for you? So here's 6 different things that I thought of. There could be more, but here's 6 moves that could be made today. One is, you can give us 3. We say that each and every Sunday. This may be your first Sunday or your second Sunday. We say, give us 3 around here, which means, you know what? You can't get to know someone on a first date. Now, I wouldn't recommend just 3 dates for your daughter or your son either. I'd recommend a lot more than that. But when it comes to church, we got to set some kind of boundary. So you're new and you're coming to check things out. Give us 3, because it takes 3 Sundays to understand the culture, to meet some people, and to maybe see where God might be moving in your life. So give them 3 Sundays. And we know that's not in a row, but give them 3 Sundays over a period of 4 or 5 weeks to see where God is moving. Maybe your next step is to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that we give that opportunity each and every week. And maybe it's time for you to make Jesus your Lord. Maybe it's time to make Him your Savior. Maybe it's time to get signed up to be baptized. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we're going to have Baptism Sunday. And it's an awesome opportunity for those to go public with their faith. And maybe you've kind of been holding back. Maybe you've been a little bit scared or a little bit nervous. It's time to make a move. It's time to go public and let everyone know that you're a follower of Jesus, that you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. It doesn't make you perfect. It just says who you love and who loves you. So maybe it's to go public with your faith and get baptized next week. Maybe it's to sign up for the claim class today. You can do that by going to the Blue Balloons. You can do that online. But you can let us know in these cards too today. And you might be checking multiple boxes. Check the boxes that are applicable to you and write your name down. And we don't want a lot of information. We don't want you to think we're going to send you a bunch of junk mail. So we just want your phone number and email so we know how best to serve you. So let us know. Maybe it's to sign up for the next claim class, which I think you should be a part of the first. If you're thinking about it all, I think you should do it April 7th. Maybe it's to sign up for Serve Day. And maybe today is you're going to go on the app, but just let us know on the card, hey, I'm thinking about Serve Day. I'm going to commit to doing something on Serve Day. Or maybe it's just to simply invite someone to church next week. A friend, a family member, a coworker, a classmate. And say, you know what? Christmas Eve and Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, the best 2 days of the year that you kind of get a free pass. People are expecting you. They might be waiting for you to invite them. Invite them next week. These are the 6 moves. So what I'm asking you to do right now is, I'd like to see your hands move. I'd like to see hands like bristling with some paper in front of them right now. And I'm going to call you out if I don't see your hands moving with some. No, I'm not going to do that. We don't do that here at this church. We don't seek to embarrass or chastise. But I don't want you to just look at this paper and not think anything. I want you to look at it. I want to say, God, what move do you want for me? Or what moves are you looking for me to make? And I believe God is, I just believe that God speaks through simplicity, not the complexity, but simplicity. And I believe there's a simple invitation that it might be, hey, maybe I need to give this place three chances because today's not all that good, but we're going to see what next week looks like. Okay. Maybe it's that. Give three Sundays to get to know culture. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe it's time to go public with your faith. I am going to ask you if you want to be baptized today, that you don't just check the card, but I'm going to ask that you go to our For the One baptism wall back there and see Pastor Nate. Raise your hand, Pastor Nate. I'm going to ask that you see Pastor Nate today because our next baptism is next Sunday. So we need to kind of get on that so we can get you what you need so you can be baptized next Sunday. So what a great opportunity to do that. But let us know on the card as well. In case somehow we miss you, let us know in the claim class. You can check that card. And Pastor Nate, again, is the one that's going to help us get signed up for claim class. He can know, okay, we're interested. I'm going to be honest with you. We can do 30 at a time. We can't do the whole church. But it's going to be every year. And so even if we have 60 or whatever, we'll get the first 30 and do the next 30. But we want everyone, new or old, long timer, new timer, We'd love for you, if you want to get to know what we're about, who we are, and where you fit into all this, claim class is going to be a great place for you to take that next step and discover what it is. The sign up day, Court told you how you can go to the app again. I'll show that one more time. You can go to the app and do that. You can invite a friend next week. I believe there's everywhere. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to make you to make a move to stand up this morning. We're going to close this message with prayer, but I'm going to do it a little bit different. So if this is your first time here, you'll know we don't do this every Sunday, but every once in a while we have something where two or three times a year where we ask you to respond. And I'm just going to ask you as I pray and as we just play behind me this morning, that whatever you write down, you're just going to lay them here on these altars and we're going to pray for those things this week. And we'll also know how to best follow up with you. So this is, you have about six different moves you can make. And there's a seventh move. It's to do nothing. That's a move. So we're not trying to make this awkward or weird. This is as we're being dismissed. So I'm going to pray. Then you're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday for a great Resurrection Sunday. But before you leave, don't just take that paper with you. If God has spoken to you about where he's moving, let us pray about it this week. Let us help know how to best serve you and just lay them on these altars. So I'd love, God help us, I'd love for a lot of people to come forward before they walk out. Does that make sense? You guys are awesome. I believe God wants to do great things in us and through us, but there's also something that God wants to do collectively together in us because we're meant to make a difference together. And when we all come together and we get on mission for what God wants us to do, amazing things God wants to do in and through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we contemplate and we pray about the things that you're calling us to, I pray, Lord, right now in this moment for simple obedience. That if you're asking us to do something, if you're asking us to make a move, that our answer is going to be yes. It's going to be an immediate yes. There's not going to be any hesitation. We're going to respond with yes. And we're going to wait in anticipation to see how you're going to work and what you're going to do in our life. So we thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Thank you for your church here on 43rd and Monroe. Thank you for Inspire Church. Thank you for every person that's in this room today. We'll be here in second service and every person watching online. God, move in our hearts and our lives for your glory and for your honor. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Leave those at the front. We'll see you next Sunday. It's going to be a great day. God bless you.